Hey, everybody, we're going to get started here in just a minute. Just getting things set up, including the recording. So just hang tight and we'll get going. Hey, welcome, Erica. Welcome, Liz. Good to see you. Hey, Janelle. Happy Tuesday to you too. All right, let's see who's going to get the high score today for the lowest temperature where you are. How cold is it where everybody is today? I know a big part of the country is a big part of North America, period, is like crazy cold today. Definitely not going to be me. I think it's 35 outside. For me, just 12, minus 12 at Celsius near Ottawa. Okay, that's still pretty cold. Liz, 42 degrees. You guys don't count, man. Is the sun out? That's all I want to know, Liz. Yes, sunny in Seattle. All right. Crazy. So I hope you're taking this call from your back porch then. Janelle says 41 degrees here in New York City. Never thought I'd be grateful for that. I know, crazy, right? It's like the middle of the country, the Midwest, and then it just like snapped all the way south. I think it's going to be like 20 here tonight. Wow. That's crazy. Hey, Jack, welcome. Good to see you. Kelly, welcome. We're just comparing temperatures outside. See who's got the lowest one. I think so far, I think Erica has got us beat. Ten. Yeah. Oh, yeah. In Celsius. Yeah. Okay. Guys, let's go ahead and get started then. We're going to have a few folks joining us here over the next couple of weeks. Liz is new to the group, so welcome, Liz. It's great to have you here. We have kind of a little ritual that we go through as we kick off these calls. And the first thing we do is just kind of go around the virtual room and ask everyone to type in capital W in the chat area. So we use the chat area a lot. And just go to chat and type in a capital W and let us know about a win that you've experienced over the past couple of weeks. Now, a win could be anything big or small. It doesn't have to be anything monumental, just something that you feel good about. You know, something, this is a good time to reflect and think about what's been going on in your business and just kind of share it and make sure that you are aware of it and grateful. Sometimes we tend to focus, I think, too much on the challenges and not enough on what's going well. Just feel free, capital W, let us know. And Janelle says, finally finished my web copy. Yes, awesome. I got it on the docket, Janelle, to review it and get you feedback. So if I don't get it to you today, you will get it tomorrow for sure, okay? So congratulations. I know that's a big, big step and just to kind of revamp all that with new positioning. And it's so hard to write about yourself, isn't it? Liz says, when talking to my new on-call attorney, wow, and about becoming an LLC, win number two, fantastic. How cool is that, huh? Reach the big leagues, Liz, when, you know, you got an on-call attorney. That's excellent. Erica says, potential client seemed to be balking at my project rate to ghostwrite a book for him. I was outlining a cheaper, faster option. He said, no, I want to do this, and got the book deal. Congratulations. Hey, you know what? Way to stick to your guns, Erica. That is so key. I know, especially with big projects like that, the tendency is to think of the big number and go, wow, you know, can I really charge that? And I think it's very important to, at that point, just kind of think about the value that the client will get? Like, what is the benefit, the ultimate value that the client will get from this? What is that worth? You know, and then also I find it helpful to think about the risk. Okay, so let's say this guy goes shopping around. What are the risks of going with somebody else? What are the risks of doing that? You know, and in that, I think helps me structure my argument, I think, a little better, you know, when there's some pushback. So fantastic. Sounds like you did a great job of it. So congrats. Jacob says, hey, Jacob, welcome. Jacob's been able to send out a lot of warm emails over the past week, hoping to lock down some new clients soon. Excellent. Good stuff. Erica says that it also helped that I had done my research and was able to sell my services without being salesy. Yeah, there you go. I think that's the key. I think it's when anytime you can, it's so important, especially with the higher value projects, right? The higher fees, you have to put the value next to the fee. If the fee is there by itself, there's no context. So hello? Yeah, good for you. Good for you that you did that. Hello. I think we got, let's see. Somebody must have been unmuted. All right, I think we're good there. Hannah, win for Hannah, sticking to meeting my minimum warm email quota. That very day, exceeding some days. Congratulations. Hold on, guys. Let me see what is going on with the audio. Oh, I think we're good now. Okay. So let me go back to that. All right, so Hannah, sticking to meeting my minimum warm email quota every day and exceeding in some days. Hey, there you go. That's awesome. That to me is definitely a win because, as you know, right, it's about the habit. If you focus on effort and consistency, the results come. So good. All right, good stuff. Good stuff, guys. Love that. I'm curious what you are working on in our work together. So what is your focus on right now? What kind of training are you going through in your game plan? What are you deploying from your game plan? Just type in a capital P and let me know. What is your focus right now? And hey, Lisa, welcome. Great to have you here. Lisa is also joining us for the first time. Ruthie, good to see you. So guys, we're just going around the room and in the chat area, just let us know what your focus is right now. P for project, and let us know what that is. Let's see, Erica is focused on the website positioning exercise. Good. I know Janelle just got her website reworked, which is awesome. Kelly is finishing up the pricing training module, making sure to devote at least an hour every weekday to warm email prospecting. Good stuff. Yeah, and Lisa is health IT startup marketing materials, not doing anything with my marketing right now. Yep, and we're going to work on that, Lisa, for sure. I just got your answers to diagnostic questionnaire, and I'm going to be putting together a game plan for you. By the way, Liz, did you get my game plan? I know we had a glitch in our process. We kind of automate that, so I upload it, and then the system sends it, but I know it hadn't gotten to you. I want to make sure that you are good. Liz is working on mindset, the big leap, removing those upper limit problems and thinking like a business owner. Wonderful. Okay, good. Glad you got it. And I know we're going to talk about that. So Ruthie, refining my finance system, need to do my website content too. The sickness hit my house in the last several days. Oh, that's the worst. I hear you. It's a time of year for sure. And you have, oh gosh, four kids. Yes. They just all catch it one after the other, right? I don't know about you, but I walk around with like disinfecting wipes and I just like keep them in my back pocket and just keep wiping everything down. Yeah, I know it's no joke. For sure. Hannah says, still deploying marketing plan, interested in troubleshooting my warm emails to be sure I'm on track. Wondering if I should move on to the cash flow module too. Yeah. So let's talk about that, Hannah. And, you know, happy to go through them with you here. And not just the copy, but also trying to understand who you're approaching because there's two two elements to that. So, yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. So let's move into that. So guys, it's, anything is fair game here, right? Whatever you want to talk about, I am here for you. If you have a question, something you'd like to discuss, the way to let me know is type in capital Q in the chat area for question. And give me an idea. You don't have to give me the whole thing there. I'll unmute you and we can have a conversation. The only thing I ask is that when we talk, you keep your question focused and specific. That way I can really help you with the issue. One question per person, I can come back to you. Okay, so don't worry, we always have ample time for a couple of rounds as needed. And if we get to, if we're in a situation where maybe you're considering a couple of different options, let me know what those are. That way I'm not bringing things to the table that you're not even considering. We can narrow it down to those things that you're thinking about. Okay. So capital Q, it's an open floor right now. While you're doing that, I'm also going to check pre-submitted questions. And just a reminder, you can always pre-submit questions if you'd like. That's really mostly for those of you who know you can't make it and you want me to address something in the call. Okay, so if you know you're going to be here, there's no reason to pre-submit them. We'll just have a conversation here today. But if you know you're not going to make it, then that's just a great way to let me know. Okay, I got Lisa here. Let's see. Let's unmute you, Lisa. I think you're on. Hey, Lisa.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's great to have you. Welcome.
Well, I'm looking forward to this. This is fun. I have a question that hasn't happened to me a lot, but maybe happens to other people, and it would be interesting to get your input. I'm working with a startup, which I haven't done a lot of, and I provided a project fee for the first set of materials they wanted. Mm-hmm. They had a marketing consultant come in and do a plan for them, and this is based on that. But they haven't been following it, and now they're getting very reactive and wanting to share materials with clients and co-market, and they're starting to throw, well, now we need this and we promised this, and so don't worry about that other piece, you know, you were going to start with, do this. And so I've said, you know, this is beyond the scope of what we talked about, but, you know, do you want to replace one material for another? And no, we still need those materials, but so I haven't given them any proposal yet in terms of how to deal with this. It's kind of playing worker writer for hire instead of feeling in control of the situation. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know what they're going to keep asking me to react to. And it probably makes sense to be on an hourly from that basis. But have you had a situation like that where you've kind of taken back control of the pricing?
Yeah. It's tough because it sounds like they're kind of operating on an ad hoc basis, seat of their pants. Is this the first thing you do for them? So you don't really have much history with them?
No, I've done a white paper, and they've sort of thrown in a trifold and a data sheet, and the campaign was around a concept that I think they're now rethinking might not work for them. Mm-hmm. So, and they just brought in a marketing director, so that just happened last week, and so a lot more time is going to just coordinating with her, which I hadn't planned for, again, beyond the scope. They're happy. They say, you know, don't worry about it. Of course, we'll pay you for all this. They seem to have money, so that's not the issue. But to me, it's the issue of, do I tell them, okay, you know, I budgeted 80 hours on this project and I'm almost 70. And I've only done the white paper out of 8 other things, you know, that mostly repurposed from the white paper, which would have made it very quick to put together some infographics and a webinar and everything based on the white paper. But now if they're going to deviate from that, it's sort of brand new work.
So let me make sure I understand. You have right now, there was a white paper and then there were 7 other items or so.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of infographic and some sort of checklist map and case study and 6 blog posts.
Okay. Okay, but it was mostly a lot of repurposing of the white paper, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's how I budgeted it.
And I'm assuming that your quote was basically for the white paper and then for these other 6-7 items, and it was a fixed fee, you know, of X.
Right.
Right. And now you've completed the white paper. You haven't started on anything else, but now they're changing some of these other items.
Right.
Okay. Who is your contact? You said they just hired a marketing director, but who is your point of contact over there?
Well, unfortunately, it's a team, and they all seem to think it's fine to be involved.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've got, you know, the CEO, and they all kind of work as an equal executive team.
Gotcha. Have they paid you anything yet? Did you ask for a deposit?
I asked for 50% up front, so I've had
okay,
I've gotten that.
Okay, good. All right, so this is not going to work unless they have a single point of contact, right? So,
and that's and the marketing director, I have told them that the marketing director and I have spent a lot of time. Unfortunately, she's chatty, so a lot of time on the phone.
All right, so if you think about
my point person.
So if this is, this is your single point of contact, what you want is a situation where you got the CEO and all these other people, and they're channeling all that to them, and then they're coming to you. But the cool thing is then if this is not going to work, so it's like they keep changing things, you could have a conversation now about this. And you're not going to be able to do that if you're having to talk to all those people individually and they have direct access to you. So the only way is this hub and spoke model. Otherwise, I mean, this is just going to be complete insanity. So this is
exactly
you.
Okay.
That is the first thing I would do.
Yeah, and I think I have. I mean, she knows now. When other people are calling me, I say, you know, this has to go through Anne, the marketing director.
Okay, cool. And the fact that they have one now, and that's great. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, you know. And I know you won't, but don't fall into the trap of just giving in and saying yes. It's, you know, this is going to have to be a trade-off. Hey, I based, you know, I quoted you this based on this.
Right.
You're now changing, you know, some of these things. You know, you don't no longer want this, or you haven't really talked about the others, but now you want this and this and this. This is going to change, you know, so I'm going to issue you. And let's just say, you know, this is, I don't know, just for making it easier, this is 6K. You need to figure out if we're going to take this out and we're going to add these three things, then what the new number is. And, of course, now subtract the deposit and come up with a – I don't like to call it a change order. That just sounds so – I don't know, so negative. A lot of people have negative connotations of that term, but – just come up with something like that. And then I think that my hope would be, like, I still wouldn't want to be working this way every week. My
right.
hope is that when this normalizes with this new marketing director, then you can avoid a lot of this mess, because then she will nix some of the stuff.
Yeah. And I'm also talking, I mean, what I had done was given them a project fee to begin with for those particular pieces. I said, once we see what your needs are, you know, it will make more sense to go on a retainer. So that was the other reason I was kind of thinking, well, should I just kind of decide based on how much they keep throwing at me that it would be better to say, you know, starting in March, where I'm on a retainer for $4,000 a month or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I would let it normalize first before you go there, because you need to be able to see how this is going to work first.
So for now, reassess the contract with the new pieces.
Yeah, I would do a couple of months of this, you know,
okay.
first.
Okay.
Because a retainer agreement is really, you know, right now you are dating. Retainer agreement is moving in together, and you signed a 1-year lease.
Right.
You know,
so yeah, and it may not
you want
be.
To go on a few dates.
Yeah, exactly. So going to hourly and saying that I'm, you know, 20 hours over and now you owe me $2,500 or whatever is, I want to stay away from that.
You want to stay, in fact, let's talk about that, because you brought it up too. I would avoid hourly at all costs.
Okay.
There's always a solution around the hourly thing. Stay away from that. That's just, that's going to present a whole new set of problems. I know it on the surface, it might feel like it might be the easiest way out of this, but it creates a whole new set of problems.
And that's where I've gotten caught. I mean, that's, you know, I think we talked about that, but I've gotten caught in the past year or two with these clients that do this. And then I end up on hourly and there's a lot of busy work and it's kind of like, yeah, I could be spending this time doing something bigger.
Yeah, totally. You'll be better off this year. This is really a client management issue right now. Mm-hmm. And then I bet that it will normalize, but you got to train them. You know, it's going to have to be this way.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's just going to be the same. And then the other thing again, just don't feel like you have to, give in. It's a trade-off. Oh, cool. You want to add these three things? Well, here was a scope. Are you willing to let go of any of these things? Is that change? No, that's still the same, but we just need to add these three things. Okay. So, I'm going to amend this and now, you know, it's going to be this much.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. I like that. Thank you.
Yeah. You bet. Yeah, it's a good problem. Anyone else have this problem before where you got a client, you know, you scoped it out and suddenly they start changing things on you? Like at a rapid pace. Ruthie had a good point, says, you know, this is key characteristic of startups. I couldn't agree more. You know, the startups, the founder is involved. He or she, you know, they always have an opinion, which changes every day. The vision keeps changing. It's just the nature of a lot of these businesses, especially tech, early on. So, yeah. You just got to rein it in. All right. Let's see. Jacob has a question here. Is there a way to tell which companies can afford the higher fees I'm trying to get before I spend the time contacting them? Yeah, great question. Here, Jacob, let me bring you in. Hey, Jacob.
Hi, Ed. How's it going?
Good. So unfortunately, right, there's no report you can subscribe to where you get, you know, updates on, you know, which companies have the green light, right?
Yeah.
You just got to look at indicators. And even then, there's no sure thing. The first thing I kind of consider if we kind of work macro and then get more specific is just kind of the industry. I would industry would be, you know, one, but I know you're already pretty narrow, right? So you already know where you're focusing on. But that's an important one to just mention because, you know, for those of you who work in several different industries, that's going to matter. The second one would be the sector. So you just know that some sectors are going to be higher paying than others. So let me give you an example. Like managed service providers, you know, a lot of MSPs, they're dealing kind of in a commodity type business where it's been commoditized.
Mm-hmm.
And if their service is very similar, to everybody else's, or at least that's a perception of the market, then that's going to be tougher as opposed to, you know, a sector where, you know, they got unique solutions, they're selling the value, you know, and they can easily talk about how they impact key factors such as the bottom line, top line revenue, risk mitigation, customer retention. So I look for things in their copy, you know, that speaks to how they're addressing that. You know, so how are they positioning the value, in other words? And if they talk about those things, then I know that's a better probability than, you know, hey, we got the fastest service, you know, those kinds of platitudes.
Right.
So that would be the sector. And then another one would be, this kind of relates to what I just talked about, the types of products. So I look for uniqueness. I look for innovation, those sorts of things. You know, that's as opposed to just trying to be like everybody else. And also, just kind of, specificity. So kind of a niche focus.
Okay.
Value. What I would say what they're already doing. So content. Because you could just tell, right? I mean, if they're investing in this stuff, that's a really good sign. Again, doesn't mean they're automatically going to pay the higher professional level fees. I think those are really the biggest ones. You know, I'm just looking macro, and in many ways, I just kind of eliminate the top one I'm already going to be focusing on anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's really more about this.
Okay, great. Yeah, that I think that helps a lot because I just feel like I'm just kind of contacting a lot of companies that just fall under the SaaS umbrella, which is huge. and you know, I'm trying to narrow it down by what I see them do. Like, are they already creating white papers and case studies and that kind of thing? But other than that, I just wanted to try and find some ways to really hone in on who can pay the professional fees, like you were saying, because, I feel like I'm just contacting the wrong kinds of companies right now, I guess.
Well, when you look at this list, does that kind of maybe explain or have an answer to, does this have an answer to maybe the challenge you're facing in terms of the wrong companies?
Yeah, I think so. I think this will definitely help.
So I added some other things in here. You've heard me talk about new, expensive, and complex in terms of their products and solutions. And I know that's kind of an abstract thing, but I think you can use it as a litmus test. Is what they're selling typically or considered innovative or new, expensive, relatively expensive, so really a considered purchase, and complex, meaning this is not something that can be explained in one page of copy. You know, it's, for example, something that's custom. It's a custom solution depending on the client. Lots of moving parts. It's a long engagement. It's going to require, you know, customization, lots of moving parts. So those are three other ones that I would throw in there. And you know what? There's one, and I don't know if this really belongs kind of at the bottom of this inverted pyramid, but something else to look for would be dedicated Marcom Pro. So if I'm looking on LinkedIn and I see that they have a Marcom director, you know, they have several people, and when you look at their titles in the description, it's a content focus. That's just, again, another indicator. It's not a giveaway that, hey, these guys are going to be willing to pay top dollar.
Right.
So, yeah, I would look at these things and make my determination at that point.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's really helpful. That's exactly what I was looking for. Just certain things that I can try and hone in on and at least get a better idea of, like, yeah, it's at least somewhat likely that they'll be able to afford what I'm looking for.
Yeah. And here's the other thing I would throw at this is just be really good at qualifying them. Right. So spend little time upfront and qualify for value, you know, and fit. And things you hear, like, you know, we're shopping around, we're looking, you know, we're contacting several writers, like that kind of talk. It's just one example. Okay. But that just tells me, that it's a shopping trip.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. So you're talking about qualifying them after I've contacted them and they get back to me with some kind of interest.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Okay. So you're doing right now, you're talking about pre-qual, which is, you know, kind of filtering before you even contact them. This is if you get a yes, just do a good job with qualification. And it's just a reminder because, you know, sometimes we get excited when we finally get a response.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, let's just say you didn't do much here. And then you finally get an answer and you say, hey, man, this looks great. I can't, you know, wait to get started. And then you spend a lot of time here, you know, with the pricing and follow-up only to find out that, you know, gosh, if I had spent more time here, I would have disengaged at this
right,
point.
Right, right. Okay.
And this is why it's always important, always talk money in that first conversation because mm-hmm. you want to make sure.
Right, make sure we're in the same spot. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Great question. Kelly, since I don't have any video marketing script samples yet, how should I respond if a prospect asks for samples? Yeah. Good question. Hey, Kelly, how are you?
Pretty good. If you remember a while ago, I was thinking about getting into writing for video marketing. And
yeah.
I put that up on my website like you were saying, but now that I'm doing the warm email prospecting, a lot of clients already are doing some video marketing. So just on the off chance that one of them is interested because they're already doing that, I was wondering how I should respond. Like, should I try and put together a little sample explainer video so that I and script so I have that sent to them? Or
You could. You could. Certainly could. It's really a matter of how much you want to invest, you know, in something like that. I'm not a huge fan of that. I like to take a different approach
okay.
first and use the, hey, let me put something together, as the last resort. The first thing I try to do, I'm trying to come up with a name for this, but it's kind of like a triangulation. So here's what the client wants, right? They want a sample,
okay.
let's just say, right? So what I try to do is I try to find out, okay, what do I have that is not that, but it has a lot of the same elements, right? So have you written anything close to maybe an explainer video? And if so, what would it be?
The only thing that comes to my mind is like a ebook, but that's the format's so different. That's one of the things I was worried about.
Okay. But let's just kind of brainstorm. So ebooks, have you done some white papers, right?
Right.
Okay. White papers. What about shorter content?
I guess that would be blog posts and short articles.
Mm-hmm.
I have those.
Okay. Have you done any product descriptions or anything like that? Or product pages on a website for a client?
I'm trying to think. I guess I have done a little bit of that. More like I did some product messaging for a client recently. Would that work?
Yeah. I mean, this is not, you're not going to use all these things in your argument. We're just putting them down here. Okay. So here's what the client wants, right? This is what you have done. The trick here is to, first of all, of course, you don't want to lie. If you're asked, have you done this before? And let me just mention that many times the client or the prospect won't ask that. If they're going to ask anything, it would be, hey, can you send me a sample? Okay, so I rarely get the question, well, have you done this before? The assumption is that you have. And sometimes I've had clients, and this has happened to many of my coaching clients, where they'll say, hey, the client didn't even ask me. They just said, well, how much? So you may not even be asked. But let's just say you're asked. What you want to do is say, okay, this is what you want. I don't have a sample, okay? Now, here's what I have done, okay? And I would add something else to this because you just talked about projects. I would add skills. And for example, conversational copy and content. I have written, and I have a lot of experience writing white papers, ebooks, articles, all using very conversational tone, right? Conversational approach. I'm confident that because of what I've done, I could do this. So here really is skills transfer. You want this, here's what I have, and here is the core skill. In other words, you're trying to connect the dots for them. Because I have done this, and I have a lot of experience in that, the skills are still the same. They're transferable to this.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying this is a cure-all. I'm not saying this is going to work every time. But you need to make it easier for them to say yes. I think one of the things that we need to all remember, guys, is that, and this is pretty much, we're all artists, right? All artists believe that clients want 100% fit. I want someone, in other words, we assume that they want someone with all these samples and all this experience and all this knowledge. And sometimes that is the case. But I would say that most of the time, they are under a lot of pressure, and we forget that there are all these factors involved. And many times they're really looking for a reason to say yes. And I think if you think about purchases you've made in the past or people you've hired to maybe work on your house or whatever, like you're a busy person and you're just hoping and praying that the referral you got from your neighbor, that's the right person, because you really don't have the time or desire to keep shopping around and calling different contractors. And you really secretly, and you may not think about it consciously, but you secretly want it to work out. You really want to be able to say yes. And if you can make it easier for them to say yes, then there is a probability that some of them will. Again, not everybody, but some of them will. So connect the dots for them. Here's what you want. You know, I'm sorry, I haven't done that yet. But here's what I have done, and I'm confident that I have the skills to be able to do an amazing job for you. All a white paper is really connecting these dots. You know, making this argument in a longer, broader scale. We're trying to put together a 2 to 3 minute explainer video. No problem. I have that, and I know I could do a great job for you here. I would just love an opportunity. And at that point, you could just make it worth their while. You know, maybe something that you might normally charge $1,500 for if you've done quite a few of them. You know, maybe you charge half of that, you know, just to get your foot in the door.
Okay.
All you want is somebody to say yes. Once you have one under your belt, this is no longer a problem, is it?
Got it. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Did this help? Did it make sense?
Yeah. I think the skills transfer and the discount arguments would probably work pretty well.
Perfect. Notice you're just trying to identify the core skills required to do what you have done and why that transfers over to the project they want. And then just wait for the right one who sees it.
Cool. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Good luck. Okay, Liz has a question here. I'm trying to gauge if a prospect who wants to move forward is truly a good match. Originally, they weren't a good match for my rates, but they came back, and I think I can use this as a good test to see how you use my VA services to make my hourly rate on this project. But I still have some gut qualms about these folks. Is it me making the upper limit excuse to not move forward, or is this me being smart in my gut? Yeah, let's talk. Hey, Liz, how are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
So you're struggling with the logic versus gut.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about them. What reservation do you have? or reservations?
Well, so this is they are in India, so operating on an international basis, which is fine. And the I did look more thoroughly at their website, and they have some great clients on their list, so that's a little reassuring to me. But I kind of feel like, who are these folks? I haven't heard of them before. And is it sort of also, I guess, what's the perception of working with them, you know, down the line? Like, are they going to elevate my business or not? And so my most recent communication, the marketing person is communicating completely on LinkedIn. And so I said, okay, hey, you know, she said, let's move ahead. I've got the okay for this rate. And, when can you start work? And so I replied, hey, get me your email and then I'll send you the agreement so we can start working together. So I feel like maybe they're a startup. I can't quite tell, but they're a little fly by the seat of their pants.
Okay.
That's the feeling I'm getting.
Yeah. And it's all been, international, not uncommon to be doing this over email. You haven't really had a conversation with them though, like Skype
no.
or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
And it's not
what
even
kind
via
of
email.
Work.
Hmm?
Oh, it's not even via email. It's through LinkedIn. Private
it's
message.
All LinkedIn. Yeah. So I'm like, let's move this to, I think I've said it a few times. Come on over to email.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. And what type of contact, what level in the organization are you dealing with?
I think I can't remember. I think she's like a kind of a manager. She's not a director or manager level. And I think you just said, what is the content? And this is going back again to these are more blog posts. Which
uh-huh.
I've got plenty of those.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
What about rates or fees? How are you feeling about that?
Well, so these are long blog posts. It's like 1,500 words. And so I originally said anything, I said that's $1,500. And they're like, oh, that's totally out of our ballpark, and thanks again. And then they came back and said, well, we could offer you 50 cents a word. So I said, well, then I reached out to my VA because I realized she could do the research for me, do some of the final editing, and I could then make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So we landed on, it'd be $750 for a 1,500.
Gotcha. And in terms of volume, are we talking about you just doing a few to start, or is this?
Yeah.
Okay. And what about the fit with your target market and your focus?
Yeah, they're
well aligned. Is it?
Yeah, they're aligned with that. They're kind of an
okay.
engagement
okay.
platform, employee engagement
okay.
platform.
So, I don't know. This is kind of feeling. I get the feeling that if, when it's international and I can't really get a good feel for what they're like to work with, what their expectations are, it's just tough for me to make a call, I'm going to let me see if I can take a snapshot of this because I have somewhere else. I'm going to put it on the screen here. So just bear with me. I wrote down a list of questions that I tend to ask myself when I face these sorts of things. And it helps me arrive at a better place, helps me make a better decision. So let's see. Let me try sharing this. Oh, here we go. Here it is. All right. Let me know if you can
okay.
see this.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So in no particular order, these are the questions I like to ask myself. Is the project well defined? Is it something that I feel I can do well? Are their expectations realistic overall? In terms of timing, in terms of what they're looking for, voice, style, have I looked at, some examples of what they want? and how do I feel about that? Time frame, deadline, that kind of falls into the last one. Parties involved, you know, who would I be dealing with? We talked a little bit earlier, you know, with Lisa, suddenly everyone started getting involved, you know, in this thing. As you know, that can turn into a headache very quickly. In terms of how I feel about, you know, the person itself, my contact, they feel reasonable. Do they seem to really know what they're doing? You know, in terms of, are they savvy? And by the way, I can send this to you so you don't feel like you have to take this down.
Okay.
Do they sound like they're shopping around, you know, price sensitive? Does it sound like they can afford me? Do they understand the value? Do they mention things about me they liked or impressed by? A lot of people are surprised by this question, but if in conversation, they are proactively telling me, you know, Ed, one of the things I was really impressed by when I was reading your website was, mm-hmm. you know, X.
Right.
That means a lot to me because it tells me that they are contacting me for a reason. There's something that stood out. Your schedule, you know, availability. And then there's this other stuff like, I don't know if we talked about this, but like, I like to think of my business as a boutique high-end tour bus. And I only got so many seats in there. And
yes.
we're going to be together for a week and I'm going to take you around and we're going to have a great time. You know, I want to make sure that I'm hanging out with the best six people possible.
Right.
Everyone's paying the same, okay? Let's just say in this example. But I don't want somebody who's obnoxious, going to be difficult, it's just not pleasant, or wouldn't kind of get along. You know, so I like to kind of factor that in too. The other things would be, any added prestige to be gained from working with a client? So let's just say this is McKinsey. And it just happens to be, you know, one of their divisions over there in India. To be able to say, hey, McKinsey was one of my clients, you know, that would certainly weigh into this. So as you look at the, and I'm not looking at you to really analyze all these, but as you look at these questions, what kind of feeling are you getting?
Yeah, the bus thing resonated with me. Like, I get, you know, I mean, this is totally it. Like, so in the emails that we've had, and, you know, English is not this person's first language, but, you know, there's typos and whatnot. And, like, if that's the person that I'm writing for, you know, that feels a little, I don't know. Not like a good match. Cause it's, you know, it's not that the prestige piece either. And,
well,
and
what
I don't
about,
know that they get value. Cause it was kind of that, you know, I mean, they did come back and they, you know, are trying to make it work with more, a higher rate than they maybe normally do. But I don't really know why they're doing that.
Do you say they contacted you? I'm sorry, I missed that part.
Through
LinkedIn. Okay, so it was an out of the blue. There was no, because something else I will factor in. Hey, I know Lisa. She suggested I contact you. That to me makes a world of difference.
Right.
But if it's, you know, we just happen to find you.
No idea.
Did they mention anything like, hey, we really like the fact that you're really focused in this area. You seem to work with clients who also do this, kind of like we do.
No, yeah, I feel, I just feel like I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
So, I'm kind of old.
And then part of what I like to ask in conversation, and I mean, you could do it, if you had to, you could do it over email or private message is, you know, have you worked with an outside writer before on these?
Right.
Oh yeah, we have. Okay, well, curious what, you know, why they didn't work out or what happened there.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you probe, you realize that, oh, well, yeah, we've worked with five people. They just can't get it right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this is the case here, but, you know, well, that to me is a huge red flag. I think you're flying kind of blind here.
Yeah,
and what I'm sensing is that you are looking at it as an opportunity. Yeah, but I could put my VA to the test. And I think that's great. I like that you're thinking along those lines. However, I have also found that in order for even a VA to do a lot of the kind of grunt work, if we want to call it that, there needs to be, like, the fee has to be really high.
Right.
Because you need to have a lot of margin in it, because it always takes longer than it sounds.
Right.
You know, so you don't want to create a situation where, oh, this is great, I'm finally putting someone here to work with me, but you're giving away 80% of the profit, you know?
Right. And I, what you're saying just makes me think too, like, I should go in testing that kind of VA, doing the research on an ideal client versus
yes.
one that I'm kind of sketchy on.
Exactly. It's and I like the idea of also putting them on one client first.
Yeah.
So there's repetition and you have background to offer. Okay, so let me tell you about,
right.
you know, how these guys work and what they look for. And here's how I go about it. I've been working with them for 2 years.
Yeah.
Is that when it's new to both of you.
Right.
So I don't know. To me, I'm just going by your gut feeling here. There's a lot of big unknowns and several red flags and very few thumbs up.
Yeah. Okay. So this is helpful.
Give it some thought, but yeah. And always approach it from with a mindset of abundance, not scarcity. So again, sometimes we, oh yeah, but I got this deal. What if subconsciously we're thinking, what if nothing comes in next month?
Yeah.
You know, but that's also not the best way to make decisions.
Right. You know me well, Ed.
You know, yeah. You get, but if we fill up that seat, you know, on the bus, then, you know, now you have one fewer seat.
Right. For the really fun person. Then they
exactly.
can't get on. Yeah. Okay.
We want the party people.
But not too much of a
problem. Yeah, exactly. Not too crazy. Cool.
Okay,
was that helpful?
You. Yes, very helpful.
Okay, good. And yeah, perfect. Yeah, I know this is not a new thing, right? We always, we're all dealing with this. This is what I love about these questions and challenges, that this is something we all have to think through. I just challenge everyone to not, you know, just take it because a few basic things check out. I think sometimes we got to dig a little bit deeper. Notice that a lot of these questions, I think you're automatically, many of you are automatically thinking about this yourself. And maybe it's gut feel, but when you reverse engineer that gut feel, I bet you're factoring in some of these variables. Sometimes I just like to kind of do a more objective review, and that's when these questions can come in handy. And by the way, here's the other thing to consider. Sometimes there are situations when, again, a lot of red flags, but the few thumbs up, the few positive aspects of it really outweigh the red flags. And I think that's okay. As long as you make the decision knowing why you're making it, then that's totally cool. All right, I got an open floor right now. Let me just make sure. So we got an open floor right now. Hey, let me just check in, though, while I'm waiting for questions. I'm just curious, what's been most valuable so far in the conversations we've had? Just type in capital V in the chat area and let me know. It could be something we talked about. It could be something that you heard from a conversation I had with somebody else. Just want to check in, making sure that you're getting something out of this stuff and you're walking away with some good ideas. Cool, Jacob. Yeah, we'll after this, definitely start round two. So if you want to type in your question, absolutely. It's an open floor. Oh, yeah, Hannah, absolutely. Yeah, so let's do that. Let's talk about the emails. Kelly says, let me just check in with everybody on value. Kelly says, using a skills transfer and discount approach to possible sample requests. Excellent. Good. Erica says, I found your conversation with Jacob very helpful. Thank you. Awesome. Anybody else? What have you found valuable, most valuable so far? Jacob says, how to pre-qualify prospects. Yeah. Ruthie says, this conversation you just had with Liz. Oh, excellent. Hannah says, the qualifying conversation with Jacob. Yeah, pre-qual, I guess we could call it, right? So pre-screening or filtering. Yeah. Janelle says, conversation and qualifying prospects, as well as a conversation with Kelly on how to respond when you don't have the perfect writing sample. Absolutely. Remembering that this is a short-term problem. Everyone has to start somewhere, right? But instead of saying, no, sorry, I don't have it, and then letting it go, of course, that's got a zero chance of closing. At least triangulating this way, you'll have a chance. Hannah says, oh, and Lisa conversation too. Yeah, absolutely. That happens. Good stuff. So let me do this. And Liz says, reminder of the dedicated Marcom Pro being an important way for me to confirm if the organization is a good match. Yeah, in fact, Liz, you and I talked about that, right? That you want to work, you even identified that. You want to work more with communications, marketing communications people. Okay, so let's do this. We got Hannah wants to go through some warm emails, and then I know, Jacob, you got another question. So, Jacob, whenever you're ready, just type it in and put a Q in front of it so I don't miss it. Let me know. So let me bring Hannah in. Hannah.
Hey, Hannah,
you're on. Yeah, how are you?
Cool. Great, how are you?
Doing well.
Good.
So talk to me.
Yeah, okay. So let's see. I started really emailing on the week of January 15th. So since then, I've sent about 54 emails, 20 of them have been opened, and I got one response where they said, basically, not right now, but let's stay in touch kind of thing. So,
okay,
not bad, you know.
Not bad.
People are opening, so that's good, and some of them are being opened multiple times. Not all of them, but some of them. So at first, I was just kind of Googling, you know, health IT companies, and I'd find articles where they would mention these companies, sort of companies to watch sort of thing. And then I was reaching out to them initially, but it kind of seemed that maybe those companies were more on the startup side because, you know, companies to watch, obviously up and coming sort of thing. So that made me a little bit, and that was one of my responses was from them. And so that made me a little bit like cautious. Oh, maybe these are not really the people I want to be pursuing, because I've dealt with a lot of startups in renewable energy. I kind of want to move away from that. I want to move towards people with budgets, you know? So, So then I was, I just was reading some different magazines, health IT and health tech magazines, and I found sort of a list of top 100 vendors. So these guys are really big companies. So I've been looking to find, you know, first thing is I always go to see if they have this kind of content that I want to be writing. So case studies and white papers and reports and things, right? So, and then I'll go through those, find something that's interesting. And then I go look for a marketing manager. I try to find one, you know, on LinkedIn who's, you know, oversees content creation or lead generation, right? Something like that. Sometimes there's not anything that specific. So I just kind of have to be like, well, here's the marketing manager or sometimes a director if I can't find a good manager. So yeah. And so then I'll just kind of reach out, usually something like, you know, well, here, I'll just read you one. Great variety of content in your resources. You have some really helpful content. I really enjoyed the success story about how, you know, this system helped provide better care and improved business operations by unifying and streamlining their data and processes. Great stuff. And then just into, I'm reaching out because I'm an independent content and copywriter who specializes in companies selling complex products or services like healthcare and tech, including healthcare and tech. I can help with writing case studies, white papers, explainer videos. Does it make sense for us to connect? And that's pretty much it. And then sometimes I'll talk about, you know, I saw the congrats on the merger, the acquisition, whatever news stuff is going on, or specifically calling out like loved this case study. But that's generally about what I'm doing. So thoughts.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think the couple of things. The first thing is I don't see anything in here, or I didn't hear anything that's like a huge red flag. Okay. I think it's going to be the details, right. Because the details can compound. So the first thing would be, and you got this, and you don't want to go after startups, right? It's important that you go after those who are already investing in this and they get it, and they have someone, at least a marketing director. I mean, marketing manager shows you that there's even a marketing director there, because somebody's got to oversee the marketing managers.
Yeah.
If you see marketing communications and those sorts of things, that tells you even more. So those are the indicators, kind of like what we went through with Jacob. Mm-hmm. The other thing would be, I mean, it felt a little bit long. I don't know if you've done a word count, but I would pare it down just a little bit. I don't
think. Okay.
Because it's, you want the detail there, but just look for words that you can kind of cut out. Do you have a template as well, by the way? So in other words, are you using that 80-20 rule where only 20% is reusable, or going to be customized rather?
Yes. So basically the second half of the email is just pretty much copied and pasted. If there's something specific that I want to mention, you know, I'll add it in there, but that's pretty much copy and paste. But the top is always changes, because that's where I'm saying I really like this and this is specifically why. But yeah, still keep it brief. Yeah, as brief as possible.
Yeah, perfect. What was the word? So yeah, keep that. The customized part, just keep it as brief as possible.
Okay.
One thing that is missing is the, here's a link to, you know, a page on my site to tell you, it will tell you a little bit more about my background. Something along
those lines. Yeah. I usually send that with my follow-up email. Is that right? Or is that, or else usually I'll send this, and then 2 weeks later I'll send, here's a sample, just so that I have something to follow
up. Well, you can still do that, but maybe then send two different things. So on the first one,
just link to my site.
Send, like your Why Me page.
Okay.
Just to link, here's a page on my site that will tell you a little bit more about, what makes me different.
Okay.
Or how it might be able to help. And just leave it at that. So really short and to the point. And then your second one could be something maybe a little bit more detailed. Hey, I meant to tell you I worked with, you know, XYZ company on this and that and the other. Let me know if you'd like to connect.
Cool.
Something along those lines. I think it's really just, you want to give, because here's the thing, the link to, here's a page that will tell you a little bit more. That basically addresses the issue of wanting to tell the whole story in the email, because the rest of it is there. Right. And then that also helps you keep it short. And it provides the instant credibility if they want to check you out.
Right. Okay.
I would say one last thing. If we kind of go way up, and let me go back to this pyramid. Do you see that pyramid there on the screen?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot to be said. You know, let's face it, guys. One of the biggest challenges is not so much who do I reach out to, meaning I can't find anybody. The challenge is actually the opposite, isn't it? It's like, where do I even start? You know, we're talking about this right here, and the pyramid could be, you know, a million companies. That's like, where do we even start? And many of us kind of, I I'm a big ready, fire, aim person. It's like, man, just start somewhere. There's something to be said for that, right? But that is, I say that because sometimes it's really about just starting and taking action than about trying to optimize. I always say foundation first, optimization second. I think you're now entering the optimization phase. At first, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I would have told you, hey, just start somewhere. Now that you're trying to tweak to get better results, I would do optimization. And part of optimization would be to specifically think about this. Rather than saying health IT in general, are there one or two areas within health IT that you either feel really passionate about, or you have something in your background that you could speak to that's related to that? You know what I'm saying? Like picking something that's got a little bit more oomph to it, so that when you write the email, it just feels aligned, as opposed to, I just found you randomly. You know, you're like number 54 on my list.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely.
You know,
I don't
it would
know
be
if
like,
I know that yet, because it's like I'm still, it's sort of, part of this process is even me sifting through and reading these case studies and things is finding the connections in my own mind where I can say, oh, I find this interesting, or I didn't even know that was something people offered, right? So,
well, keep in mind that we're not even talking at that level yet, because you're not looking at individual companies. This would be more like,
like electronic health resources, or
like for me, I did a lot, ended up doing not a lot, but I had several clients in the supply chain management and ERP side, specifically with food and beverage. I got to know a lot about the food and beverage industry. And, one of the things that I found most fascinating was, track and trace. So this is what happens when you are a food company and you, there's a safety recall, right? It's like, oh my gosh, you know, people are getting sick, romaine lettuce. It's the ability to be able to track that to the source, and meaning like at the farm, and then go the other way and track it at the shelf. So track and trace, I found fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like a whole world inside supply chain management just on track and trace technology and tools and solutions. And let's just say that I didn't do this, but I could have said, you know what? I found this fascinating. I have very limited experience, but I liked it so much. I'm just going to focus on that at first, because I know that I can now approach several companies that do this, and I have something that I can use. It may not be extremely strong, but it's going to come across a little bit more sincere.
Right.
Because I have a passion for it. And maybe it wasn't a passion. Maybe it was just like I was just fascinated by it.
Mm-hmm. An interest. Yeah.
An interest. And if you have, of course, an experience there, you know, whether it's a client experience or something in your professional background, then of course that helps. So I know it's a little bit tough for you right now because you've pivoted recently.
Mm-hmm.
But use what you've got, and you know use the footing you have here, and you'll land somebody. And now you have not just your background, but now you have this one experience, and so now you can really go deeper in that.
Yeah.
So just a little tip. I'm not saying you got to do this, but I think you can understand the difference between just randomly picking, you know, just starting at the top of this list versus really thinking about what are you passionate about? What really gets your attention and gets you excited?
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. That's a good thing to think about, to zero in on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It'll definitely come through. It won't be because, yeah, what I'm trying to do is sort of genuinely find something in what I'm reading from them that I do find interesting and, you know, get that across in my first half of my email. But yeah, if I can find a specific thing that really connects with me consistently and then have that, you know, across whoever I'm reaching out to, even in ways that could be good. Right.
Well, the other thing it will do, the other thing it will do is it'll save you a lot of time. I mean, right now you're spending a lot of time digging to find something. It really hits you. When you go about it backwards, you already have that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you don't have to. Right now you're really trying to find something that you can talk about sincerely. That takes time.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah.
And I suspect that if you've gotten, I mean, this is not bad. By the way, was this one no thanks or not right now?
Not right now. It's like, thanks for reaching out. Please stay in touch. Hopefully, you know, down the line kind of thing, which who knows, but in my summation was, we don't have a budget right now, but maybe later we will kind of thing.
Yeah, it could be. You know? I call them NYR prospects, not yet ready prospects. Mm-hmm. So this is somebody that belongs in your nurturing list.
Right.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, keep in mind that about 90% of prospects are not going to be ready.
Right.
So right now it's a timing issue. The shocking thing is about 40% ready within 2 years.
Right. Which that has happened to me. My biggest, like one of my biggest clients right now was a long-term nurturing prospect who came back to me months later and said, hey, want to make a bunch of money? And I was like, sure. I mean, that's not what I said, but you know what I mean? It was a good thing that came back because I nurtured them. So it really does work.
There you go.
Oh, I was going to ask you to, going back to, you mentioned the difference between marketing managers and marketing directors. I sort of have been sort of consciously bypassing the director because I almost am like, well, they're probably too busy. But do you think start with the director and then move down to the managers if I don't get a response from the director? Is that what you would recommend?
Yeah, I would. I would. I used to kind of think about it the reverse in the reverse order. But the feedback I was getting, not just from my efforts, but mostly from coaching clients, was they were having better luck with the director level. The director level and manager level work closely together.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to have a better result there.
Cool. Okay. Well, that's good to know too, because that's something I can easily change. Okay.
Yeah.
And marketing communications, I tend to think of those people as PR, but that's not always true. Right. So don't just.
No. Yeah. Marcom could be really any of the stuff, you know, okay. White papers, case studies. They could have a PR component, but you know, even then, I'm not saying go after PR directors directly, but you might be surprised. One of my best clients, I worked for several people in this company, but one of the ones who was consistently giving me work was a PR director. And she had a PR firm on retainer. I just flat out asked her. She kept giving me all these byline articles. I said, you know, I love that you're doing this and I don't want you to change, but you know, why don't you use your PR firm? And she told me flat out that they have a lot of turnover with their writers. They don't get good consistency. She doesn't feel that that's what they do best. She feels that what they do best is really leverage their relationships and pitch articles and get them placed on publications. And she really loved the fact that I was really, really focused, you know, in my work, and she could work better with me on this and let them do what they're good at doing. So
interesting.
Sometimes that will happen, you know.
It's good to know. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has been very helpful. I did double check the word count. This looks like it's like 84 words, which isn't too crazy, but.
Okay. No, that's not bad. Yeah. Okay.
Bit of a mouthful at the beginning. So cool. Okay. Well, thank you, Ed. This is great. Now I know a couple of things I can zero in on. So awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. So keep me posted.
I will.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Let me bring Jacob in. Hey, Jacob, you're back on, buddy. You said you had something else.
Yeah, so quick question. So it's just about following up with prospects who initially showed interest, but then I haven't heard from. So I have one in particular, but I was also kind of just wondering in general when this happens, just kind of the procedure from there. So in the exact example, it's just I had a prospect, they contacted me and we had a phone call and I felt it went really well. And then I sent them some rates and stuff like that. And then I haven't heard back. And so I'm just wondering, is there a quick like kind of email script that you have for that? And then also just kind of on the more general level, do you ever include any kind of, I guess like motivator sentence in the sense of like, you know, like let me know so I can get you on my schedule before it fills up or just something along those lines. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So this is really how to follow up really is what we're talking about here. Right. Somebody who's expressed interest, they're qualified, everything checked out. And do you have something defined, or was it just, hey, we got a lot of things?
Yeah. So they asked me for like white paper projects is what we were talking about.
Okay. But there wasn't one specific one that they were looking at that they had identified?
No, I didn't get like an actual like title or anything like that.
Okay. So I think it really starts at the conversation stage. When you're mm-hmm. qualifying, one of the key questions is about timing. You know, what's your timing for this? When are you looking to get started? And you ask that question for a couple of reasons. One is you want to make sure that, you can make it work. The other reason is it gives you something you can use in your follow-up. Mm-hmm. So two extremes would be, well, we need to jump on this right away. Actually, we're way behind. We just had a lot of things going on. We're looking to get started, you know, as early as next week. Versus, well, you know, we really don't know yet. I mean, it's something we've been meaning to do. Something along those lines, and then you know. But if you happen to know that, and you should know that, then it makes the follow-up a lot easier. Because
right, okay, so... Yeah. Okay. So I mean, I know that they wanted to do it in the first quarter, which okay. is in the, you know, it's at least somewhat of a range.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So then what I like to do, well, first of all, I always follow up when I send my quote, you know, just always follow up. Want to make sure you received it and want to know, hey, we're ready to get started.
Like the next day, do you do it that soon or is it like a week later?
I usually email the day after sending it.
Okay.
You know, yeah. And then if I get no response and I follow up 3 business days after that, roughly.
Okay.
And then I will switch to phone. So then I will call roughly about 5. I start working either a 3 to 5 business day rotation or sequence.
Okay.
But, you know, so it's a couple of emails and then if no response, then I move to phone.
Mm-hmm.
And to answer your question, yeah, at that point, that's when I'm starting to let them know, hey, I'm starting to, let's just use the current where we are now. It's late January. I'm actually starting to schedule through the end of February. And I know you wanted, see, this is where knowing the timing, and I know you wanted to get started here in the first quarter, would love to get you on the schedule.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm a big believer that there's really not much you can do to motivate a client or a prospect to pull the trigger. So mm-hmm. you are limited by certain constraints, right? Because if your contact there, this is only one of the many responsibilities they have, right? And they're probably just firefighting every day.
So right, gotta, and they did tell me they were pretty busy, so
I'm yeah,
not super surprised.
So you just keep that in mind because sometimes I think we get freaked out and upset. Hey, and you know, just feel like we're in the dark. I think because how many times have you know you freaked out and then you find out the next week that sorry, I forgot to tell you we were all out of town at a conference last week. It's been crazy, and then the following week you're just catching up. And, you
right,
know.
Right.
So you always want to stay cool because I know I've made this mistake of getting a little bit irate in my tone of my emails.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel foolish after.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, yeah, just keep it professional. But timing is your best leverage. And if you let them know, of course, if you know, as long as it's true that you're starting a schedule through the end of February or whatever, mm-hmm. Then that can help.
Okay, great.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, then they're all going to come in at once, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay, great. That's really helpful. Thank you.
You bet. Yeah, one of the best things about being busy, guys, is it actually creates a self-fulfilling prophecy in that the busier you are, the more you can use these kinds of leverage points, and the more credible they are, and the more confidently you can deliver them, right? So if I know I'm booked for the next, you know, 6 weeks, man, that is a great place to be in, not just because I got all kinds of work, but because I can confidently follow up with people and not sound desperate. Prospects can feel, you know, the desperation and the anxiety, and that definitely repels, you know, any desire to work with you, or it can repel. When you're in a great spot, they can sense that, and it makes you more attractive. Yeah, it gives you a lot of confidence, says Ruthie. Yeah. I'm too busy, though. I have zero time for marketing. Hey, listen, that's the cool thing, Ruthie, is there. You say zero, but there's always some time. You know, like it's kind of like exercise, right? Well, I have zero time for exercise. Well, I mean, if it were life-threatening, not that exercise is this, but you would find 10 minutes, right? 15 minutes. So I think it all starts, it's a habit, and habits, when you're working in those kind of constraints, start with just, you know, just baby steps. It's really about not so much the result as much as it is making the habit and just getting, you know, every week or whatever, or just carving out, even if it starts with 15 minutes. You may say, well, what can I do in 15 minutes? So there's a lot of things you could do in 15 minutes. You can make decisions in 15 minutes. You can make space for yourself to think about the strategy. You're not going to have time to, let's say, research a prospect. But you might hear something you can do in 15 minutes. Find already compiled list of prospects in a specific sector in the target market you're going after. You know, the top 50 whatever to watch in 2019. You know, those are quick things that will take 5 minutes, and then the rest of the time you can spend just kind of compiling that, you know, putting the results, copying and pasting the information you find into a Word document. So just really starting is the key. It's not about volume. It's about just starting and then consistency. Yeah, there you go. Ruthie says, like, hey, I could get my VA to do some of that. Absolutely. And you're right. Some of the things you're gonna need a little bit more space. You're right. But just start with baby steps, because one thing that was not going to happen, Ruthie, is to make that kind of time if you're starting from zero. That's too big a leap for you right now, is what I'm sensing. You're slammed. So it's just 15 minutes at a time. You know? Yeah, cool. And listen, as you start trying this, happy to help you through it, okay? So let me know how I can support you. Think about give it a name. You know, like for me, it's always, for the past few years, I call it the golden push-up. Right? If you want to start an exercise program, okay, so maybe going to the gym is a big step for you right now, because you haven't been in a long time. You got to sign up, which means you got to carve out time to go get that paperwork done and pay, and then you're not sure what program you're going to do or what class. Okay, but what about, you don't need to do all that. If you're trying to start a new habit, what about just committing that today you're going to do one push-up? Just one. And I guarantee you, you're going to do it, because it's ridiculous to put that down on your to-do list and not do it. So you're going to do it, and guess what? While you're on the floor, you're probably going to do a few more. So it all starts with a small step. That's why Couch to 5K is such a successful concept. There you go. Some people I could follow up with. Here's a great one. And I'm going to do some training for you guys on this, but I heard it called text roulette. you know, you feel like you don't have time to follow up with people, stay in touch with friends and colleagues, you know, just randomly start typing in the to field in your phone. Just start with R. And let's say Robert McKee pops up. Hey, there you go. All right, I'm going to send Robert a text today. Rob, dude, what's up? Been a long time, man. How you been? Right? You do that with three others. You're waiting in line at the DMV. 10 minutes, although we know it's always longer than that. You can fire off several texts to people that you haven't been in touch with for a while. What's the benefit? The benefit, well, first of all, you've told yourself you've been meaning to do that for a long time. And text is such a low commitment channel, right? Rob suddenly texts you back, hey, man, so great to hear from you. It's been so long. Yeah, you know, and it doesn't have to last all morning. You know, you go back and forth three or four times, it's done. You've invested in that relationship. So all these little pockets of time, all these little things we could do, we just don't really think about them. So, okay, good. I feel like I'm rambling, but Erica and Ruthie are enjoying that. Okay, good stuff. Yeah. Lisa has a good point here. So this is probably just me, but it has to hurt for me to do those things that I'd like to put off. So, for instance, if I pay for a trainer, I go to a workout. If I'm looking at no future work, I get busy marketing. I'm not sure if I can teach this old dog new tricks, but I'll try. There's always a way, Lisa. But look, you found some of your motivations, which I think is key. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying, hey, that motivation is wrong. I would want to go deeper if you told me, you know, I just don't get motivated, period. You know, but you found something that works for you. I think that's the key. You got to find what gets you moving, what gets you started, and what keeps you consistent. I'm like that too. So part of me, was removing barriers. So making it easier, making it satisfying. And then the high cost. So just to bring it down to the gym, because I think it's something we can all relate to. My gym is probably the most expensive gym in the area. I did it partly because it's nice and it's got a lot of things I want that a lot of other gyms don't have, and everything's included. So I don't have to worry about it. Like I had this other gym was super cheap, but just to use towels, you had to pay. You know, I don't want to have to track that. I just want towels, man. So that was one thing. And then the second thing is I knew that having to pay that every month was going to get me motivated. So I'm with you, Lisa. Yeah. Lisa says it's masochistic, but it works. Yeah, totally. Totally. Janelle says, I just read about a concept called temptation bundling, where you pair one task you've always procrastinated on with one you'd enjoy doing. Yeah, I've heard that concept. I really think they're onto something. I think many times we do something like that without even thinking about it. The other one that I love, and I got some training on this, is called habit stacking. And habit stacking is similar in that what you're doing is you're kind of tacking on a new habit or new task that you really want to get done to something you're already doing. So essentially it needs to be something like, hey, when I'm done pouring myself that cup of coffee, I'm going to send a text or an email or I'm going to send a LinkedIn connection or request to a prospect, that kind of thing. And what it does is it programs, right? Because you already have a program. You do these certain things in order, these three things. The last one is coffee. When you're done with the coffee, now you're going to tack on a fourth thing, and it's going to be this. And it takes a few days, but very quickly it becomes part of that new stack. Yeah. So a great book that I can recommend, guys, if this is something that, again, consistency, habits, if this is something you know you need to work on, and so much of what we do is, you know, it's just all about habits. Atomic Habits by James Clear just came out a few months ago. Amazing book. I have a little stack of books that I reread every year. I try to keep it as small as possible, but these are books that are so important that I feel I need to read once a year. and Atomic Habits made it to my little stack when I read it. So I thought this is the best book I've read on behavior change in a long, long time. All right, guys. So let's wrap up and let me get back to the slides here. Okay. I want to make sure that you have a clear and tangible action item. So if you wouldn't mind and type in a capital A in the chat area and just let me know what is one thing you're going to do over the next 2 weeks that will help move your business forward. I want to make sure these calls are helpful, actionable. That's why I call them momentum calls. I want to make sure that they help you maintain or start some momentum. It really doesn't matter what it is. Just give me something. I think in making that decision or just putting something down, you'll get a little bit of clarity if you haven't already. So just let us know. Type in a capital A for your top action item or a top action item that you're going to commit to doing over the next 2 weeks. All right, let's see. Erica says, finally finished my website positioning work and identify my niche. Awesome. Yeah, good stuff. Hope you're getting a little closer there. I suspect you are. So let me know, Erica, how I can help you through that process. I think you're getting close. Lisa, add newer work to my online portfolio. Okay, yeah, good. Let's see. Janelle, go through marketing plan training. Okay. There you go. Kelly, reviewing the qualifying process and getting more familiar with the questions involved. Absolutely. Yeah. Feel free. You know, I got a couple of cheat sheets in there, but, you know, make it your own. Create your own cheat sheet if you need to. I think that process really lends itself to having a cheat sheet handy so you make sure you cover all the bases. Hannah, zero in on these email tweaks. Find my golden thread that interests me in a health IT sector. Wonderful. All right. Anybody else? Top action item or a big action item or important action item for the next couple of weeks that will really get things moving forward. Last call. Nobody? Oh, Hannah says, I also want to draft a dummy explainer video. Oh, cool. Those are fun. By the way, for you, Hannah and Kelly, I did a podcast interview with a lady that's all she does, explainer videos. Now, she does kind of the whole package. She offers a turnkey solution. Don't know the episode number, but if you Google explainer videos Ed Gandia or explainer videos high income business writing, you'll find it. Great stuff. And I think we'll give you some really good insights as to what she does, what kind of clients she works with, her process and all that. So, and Erica says, I also want to get that White Papers for Dummies book. You recommended it. Oh man, that's a must. And if you're working, I would say that anyone here is working on any kind of, if you work on complex projects, whether it's white papers or not, I really think you'll find that book very handy. I love how Gordon approaches these projects, a lot to be learned from his whole process, whether it's white papers or something else that's got moving parts to it. All right, guys, great call today. Love the diversity of the topics we covered. So we'll continue the conversation, of course, in the Facebook group. You guys have a wonderful rest of the week. Stay warm, and we'll talk soon. Take care, everybody.